Discourse 12, August 11, 1932. Saint Germain. Invocation. Thou mighty majestic God Presence, whose seeming mystery of life enfolds thy creation, make that seeming a joyous reality to thy children of earth. Enfold them in thy wonderful radiance, illumining the pathway of each one, that they stumble not. Infinite is thy patience, enduring is thy love. Great is thy peace, thou wondrous presence active in all mankind. Thou mighty presence called nature, responding to the God within thy creation, pour forth thy lavish abundance upon these thy children. Children of the four elements, I call unto thee. Come and minister to the children of light. Oh, that each one would keep the love radiance burning, that every other condition might be put aside for the inflow of that mighty presence. The Discourse. Where there is no thought or feeling of rebellion, judgment or resentment of one another, what glorious heights can be reached? Again I congratulate you on the wonderful condition supplied. The God in each is master, especially of the mentality. The mentality, if rightly understood, is God's action. Where God is, there is naught else. Say often, God alone is here, and I see and feel naught else. The son is father to the man, the daughter is mother to the woman. Does that sound paradoxical? I assure you it is not. For as a rule, the suggestion enfolding the child from 5 to 12 or 14 years of age is that which makes the character of the man or woman, unless through the conscious knowledge in practicing the presence of God they release and consume all suggestion infringing and walk forth in the true inner presence. The unfortunate thing, and in this respect I mean entirely the delay of progress, for there is nothing comes that is not needful, is the lack of knowledge in warding off suggestions that are intruders upon our God-given freedom. Hence the reason for the wise statement that our friends are sometimes our worst enemies. For anyone outside of a teacher, I mean by that a real teacher of light, who has an opinion about another individual, is intruding upon that individual's freedom, and it simply should not be done. One should always guard the thought tenaciously against rebellion of thought when the teaching is presented or good intended. For no one outside of the arisen ones is able to judge the intent back of the speech or action. The two wings of the soul. It is said, or conceded by those of orthodox opinion, that angels have wings. I shall explain to you why. Determination and power are the two wings of the soul, not necessarily visible even to the inner sight, but they are there just the same. And where you recognize determination as will, with its accompanying power, the soul may rise to any height of mastery, and in that recognition draw the outer into itself, and there be only one, God in action. The supremacy of the mighty inner master presence must be acknowledged by the students as real and true. And the students must acknowledge that they have the ability and power to practice that mighty presence in every act of life. The more the students practice the presence of God within themselves, the easier it becomes, and the more they want to practice it. However, as I have mentioned many times before, the outer, in the beginning of the advancement, will find every excuse to try to get the attention on outer things, or on the body, which, in its ignorance, it claims as its own. The only sure release from bodily conditions is to take the mind off the body and keep it off. If there seems to be something that needs correction in the body, put your mind on God and hold it there until the condition that seems to need a remedial agent suddenly disappears. This is why there is now and then a student who conceives the idea that there is nothing to heal, because anyone who will practice this, the instant there seems an appearance in the body of anything discordant, and who will put the mind on God, knows that presence is the most powerful remedial agent in the universe. Many, by the use of this application, will find instant relief from any bodily condition that seems inclined to hold the attention. This is, in reality, consciously taking the problem into the great silence, where there is nothing to heal because all is perfection. This is just as true of business conditions as for healing the body. In fact, anything that seems to express imperfection can be handled the same way. No permanent release from bodily disturbance can be had, so long as the mind or attention is allowed to be drawn to the condition from which one wishes to be released. With many natures, the same thing is true of denials, because the more they deny a thing, the more they bind it to them. For in the denial they are letting their attention rest on the very thing from which they wish release. To truly practice the presence of God, we must know that there is only one intelligence which can act, one power to use, and one love with which to accomplish. You know by this that you have within the victorious, conquering activity every moment. Thus, whenever there is anything to be handled, it matters not what. The moment it seems to have an appearance, using your wings of determination and power, say, God, solve this problem and do it at once. I give you all the power where it belongs. I recognize you as the only activity. Therefore, this appearance has no reality and dissolves instantly before thy mighty presence. If the students will continually use this, they will soon find that they have no problems. As conditions permit, you will find that this which has been given is but a small part of what may be given for use, as you become more and more aware that you are gaining not only in what to do, but how to do it. It is the same as with a teacher in the outer schools who gives the child a problem. He also shows the method by which to solve the problem, or he would be a very inefficient teacher indeed. The student will always find that where there is sufficient sincerity and earnestness, and a constant calling for light and understanding, the way will always appear for the knowledge to be given, which will lead him or her to freedom. The true activity, when we have come to this present state of understanding, is to give no quarter whatsoever to outer appearances. The student at this point should constantly analyze the outer, not in a critical way, but that he or she may be conscious of what there is that needs changing. The sincere student should, with all tenacity, Break up every old personal habit, no matter what it is, for that is the thing that binds. A great many students do not give this the slightest consideration. The old personal habit is the serpent in the garden, so to speak. This is what I mean by analyzing. To know what there is to break up, which before we have been considering as a necessary habit. There are so many little things in a person's life which are limitations that can be broken up. We must break up old habits as ice in the springtime, for they form incrustations that prevent proper growth. When old habits are set, a rebellion in the outer takes place when a change comes, and this always disturbs the feelings. This is one of the greatest unrecognized barnacles of the soul. There is not one person out of 1,000 who has the slightest idea of the number of these old personal habits until he turns about and looks at them. Then he can see how these incrustations bind him. The serpent so-called, which is but rebellion and resentment, will find nothing to feed upon when these habits are broken up. Therefore, it will hunt for more fertile fields, or in other words, completely disappear from your garden. If old personal habits are broken up, there is no resistance to the truth. The right attitude is to joyously accept the truth, no matter how much it mangles up the outer. This is why we must stand guard every moment at the gate of our outer world. The true activity of love. When an individual feels that he or she cannot give forth divine love, it is because that one does not understand the true activity of love. Where two individuals are concerned, one seeming to be in disgrace, while the other, so to speak, stands guard, a person does not direct the attention to or attempt to love the discordant thing, but he is to love the glorious being imprisoned within the individual because of its perfection and because the discord of the outer self has bound it. The Christ attitude would be to send great love to that imprisoned presence, which is God, the light within the individual. This anyone can do with great devotion. Knowing this, make the conscious demand with determination and power that God break down and dissolve the barrier and set this radiant presence free to again assume its dominion and create perfection in its outer world. The individual standing guard in such a case has the divine right to make this conscious demand, and if it is kept up, the way will be opened and the problem solved in the right way. This will give a peace and relief to the one standing guard who really grasps this idea that will be almost unbelievable. The mistake so many people make is in attempting to solve a condition with the outer mind. Enthroning your own divinity. The most important and the greatest thing that everyone needs to do, and especially students who are sincere, is to consciously enthrone their own divinity in its temple, giving all power, all devotion, praise, and recognition to it, that the outer attention may be firmly anchored once and for all time where it belongs. Thus the outer, which has been the usurper, will be drawn into the great river of light until the very existence of the outer is forgotten. As the autumn approaches, take the conscious stand, God, the mighty I Am Presence, see that every part of my body is governed harmoniously and that I am not affected by atmospheric conditions. God is the center of my being, and governs my body in perfect harmony at all times. I do not accept suggestions from those about me, either from the spoken word or from appearances. I move free, forever free, in my mighty God presence. Very important. The conscious recognition of the electronic activity within your own body as the electrons bursting is a real activity taking place. The picturing of the inner reality becomes reality in the outer self. The use of the blue flame stimulates the electronic action within the physical body and ignites the gold, pink, and violet flame in its force field. This sets these activities into action as the force from the electron radiates out. The true nature and color of the electron is in reality an intense sapphire blue. To some, it might seem violet. It is important to understand at this time that any ray having its own original state of color may be made to contain the activity of another ray by the conscious effort of qualifying it thus. For instance, the rose-pink ray of love may be touched by the violet of power, or the same ray may be edged on one side with gold and the other with violet, which makes the trinity of love, wisdom, and power. As you advance in understanding, you will be able to consciously form different combinations as the occasion may require. For instance, as the ascended masters operate, and anyone else may, if they so choose, the white ray may be used as a foundation upon which to operate, it being qualified with the other colors and elements as may be required. This places within the hands of the sincere student almost limitless activity and power. The student who constantly asks for divine love to unfold and wisdom to direct the power he or she uses will enable this activity to become so anchored that after a while the very use of the rays will naturally call forth love and wisdom in their action. As we said in the beginning, when the old personal habits are broken up, you will find them replaced by these marvelous divine habits that will indeed be a true blessing. One must become aware that in the mighty activity of God is all mentality, and when we mentally connect with an idea which always has its form, we are in direct communion with the presence of that form. All students who come to a certain point of understanding will come to know that America is to be the great jewel of God's light. I say this advisedly, beyond any part of the earth. Mrs. Ballard, will the pictures of the arisen masters be precipitated sometime? Saint Germain, the time is rapidly approaching when many such things will be done, and the purpose of it is to have anchored in the mind of humanity the reality of those mighty beings. It is important that humanity realize that there is a great host of advanced beings beyond this present state, proving that life is eternal, and that from the visible to the invisible is but a slight step anyone might take without passing through the change called death. Benediction. Mighty Presence, beloved cherubim, we give praise and thanks for the wondrous radiation, for the blessings that are showered forth today. We give praise and thanks for the mighty radiation that has gone forth in official places, preparing the way for God's messengers to be enthroned for the dispensation of God's great love, wisdom, and justice. We give praise and thanks that all mankind have become an anchorage for the mighty presence of God, quickening into the activity of a conscious desire for the presence of God. We demand that it be quickened with great rapidity to bring forth the full fruition of that which is to be.